This is Coordinator's Corner, presented by JCW, the Burger Boys.
Hello once again, happy Monday, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio B at the BYU Broadcasting Building in Provo, Utah for our Week 6 edition of the Coordinator's Corner, our weekly BYU football conversation with the Cougars coordinating coaches. Coming up on today's broadcast, we will look back at a 34-28 win in Waco that improves BYU's record to 5-0, 2-0 in the Big 12. The Cougs win at Baylor is their first away win as a Big 12 member. Today, we're visiting with BYU's offensive coordinator, Aaron Roderick, and special teams coordinator, Kelly Papinga, looking back on a victory that takes BYU into the first of two bye weeks. We start the show by saying hello to BYU OC and QB coach, Aaron Roderick. Coach, good to see you once again.
Good to be here.
Congrats on the win.
Thank you. Yes, good to be 5-0.
Yes, and it was a chance at a first Big 12 away win. Was that something that the guys were mindful of?
Yes, we talked about that all week, and we talked about being underdogs again and about getting our first Big 12 road win, that it was time to get it done, and I thought our players really accepted the challenge in practice.
You were back in Waco for the first time since 2021. From that game to the 2022 game the next year to this game in 2024, do those meetings all kind of show progress that BYU's made in transitioning to a power program?
Well, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I think we're definitely progressing in the right way. And those two games helped us sort of know, like, the scheme changed since we played them before. But what was clear from playing Baylor those other 2 years is they have great talent, especially on defense. They have length and speed and athleticism. And I think what you're seeing now is in our third year, we match up way better than we did maybe the first year we played them.
It is still a grind, though. Power Conference football is a grind.
There are no easy games, none. And every game is winnable, but every game is also, you know, you're going to have to fight for four quarters, and that's just how it's going to be every week.
You dealt with in-game adversity. I mean, the personnel situation changes week to week, guys in, yeah, guys out. Certainly losing your starting center is going to be adversity for any program, and it was tough to see Connor Pay go down early in that game.
It was. You know, Connor's meant so much to our team, and he's been such a good player for us for the last few years, and he's our, you know, he's a captain, he's a leader of our offensive line, and to have him go down early is a blow. I thought Sonny Moccasini did a good job stepping in there and played a solid game, but of course, you know, we miss Connor always.
And, you know, whether it's Austin Leusa or Bruce Mitchell, the depth has been there where you've been able to use a few guys in a few different spots on that O-line and not lose too much, it would appear.
Yeah, offensive line play is all about continuity. It's about communication. It's about playing as a unit. Those guys have to make calls every play where they're communicating all across the board so that we're getting targeted right. And anytime you're having moving parts in and out of there, that's a threat to that continuity and that chemistry. And so I thought the guys did a solid job. You know, no sacks was a big deal. We would like to have run the ball a little better in that second half. But to have zero sacks against a team that had 8 sacks the week before against a very, very good Colorado team, I was really proud of those guys.
Let's examine the game then. BYU has now won 32 consecutive games. Under Kalani, BYU's 34-2 and a perfect 13-0 away record when you just score a touchdown on the opening possession. Let's get into your opening possession. Only one third down in that first drive against Baylor on Saturday. 7 plays, 75 yards. You end up 7-0 in the early moments of the game.
Yeah, it was a good opening drive, and the one third down was a key play. We third and 5, we threw an option route to Darius, and he got open. And
this is it right here, right?
Just like we dialed it up, we tried to get him matched up on their Mike linebacker, and he won inside and got open, and that, it was a really nice play. And then we went right back to him the next play. This drive was just the way you draw it up, and I thought our players did a nice job executing, and nice play here by Miles. This was exactly as we practiced it. That opening drive felt good.
When you saw Miles released, did you see it's going to be open?
We got this. Before the snap, when the defense lined up the way they did, we knew it was going to be there, and that was, you know, well executed. You still have to execute it though, and throw and catch and mm-hmm. and protect and do everything. But the look was what we were hoping for, and it dialed it up.
He'd been in the end zone before for you, but the first career receiving touchdown for Miles Davis.
Yeah, Miles is a very good receiver. He's always, you know, he started out his career as a receiver, actually, his freshman year. And whenever we, you know, in the Wyoming game, he had a couple of good plays in the passing game. He is a very good threat out of the backfield.
defense got a takeaway on the first Baylor offensive play. So, again, you're probably into your call sheet for the next sequence that comes up pretty quickly now, but it gives you a short field. Maybe changed your options. I don't know. Four plays, 20 yards, and Chase takes it in for six in your second possession.
Yeah, it was nice to go right to our red zone calls. You know, got the ball in the red zone, went right to them. And again, the guys did a nice job executing. Started with a solid run play, and then had another good play here to Pokai with a really good lead block by Enoch Nawahine. And then one short gain, and then we, what I thought should have been a touchdown pass here, they counted this as a rush.
Yeah, they did.
We practice that play often, and we make sure to throw it forward so that if it's incomplete, the other team can't scoop and score. The Baylor statisticians.
Did they keep it that way? Because I threw.
We argued it, but you know, it's okay.
It's a score.
Touchdown either way, but
right.
well executed by everybody.
And the intent again, make sure the ball is going forward.
Because if it's incomplete, it's next play. You know, and that's why we practice it that way.
Okay, so officially they gave Chase a rushing touchdown there. 14-0 BYU lead, followed by a Baylor turnover on downs, and you get a chance to go up 21-0. In the first quarter, and you do that, a 7-play, 69-yard drive. Jake Retzlaff had almost half of the yards on a pair of big runs, the second of which got him into the end zone. The third drive had a lot of Jake on the ground.
Did. One was a scramble. Jake, you know, he's a good runner. He's making plays with his feet. It was a scramble, and then, you know, we had this nice physical run here by Enoch Nawahine, who runs like a guy who's much bigger than he really is. And then this is a little scramble play, getting the ball to not great job by Keelan, and then this was the big gain here where Jake goes and gets a nice gain, and then we get a 15-yard penalty there as well that helped us out. And unfortunately Parker's a very good thrower, but he missed that one. We had Keanu wide open in the end zone, and then the guys we blocked up this QB counter play perfectly here. They did a nice job there executing that.
And no harm done on the miss because Jake comes in and scores. He's got 150-plus rushing yards for you, which actually leads your team right now. He doesn't get as much attention as the other quote-unquote dual threats out there, but he is.
Very much so. He's very much a dual threat, and that will always be part of our offense. We didn't have much of a QB run game last year, and that was something we felt like we really missed. And so this year we've been very intentional about getting that going again and trying to use it at the right times.
Understatement to say that's about as good a start as any OC could hope for in a game up 21-0.
Yeah, it felt good. That was, you know, that's how I expect us to play more often. And I thought that was I was really proud of our team for getting off such a fast start.
It's a good Baylor team, though, and they did answer to make it 21-7. The response, though, was outstanding. I thought this was actually a pretty key early point in the game when they do score. You're facing an 85-yard field, too. 10 plays, 5:25 off the clock, two third-down conversions on the drive, which is big. Then you end up scoring, I think, on a second down. It was the second-down play was the post shot to Darius for the touchdown.
Yeah, and that drive really exemplified who we want to be on offense. You know, we started out, we didn't have great field position after the kickoff, but we went on a methodical drive running the ball. Mixing run and pass together. We had some quick game, we had some RPO, we had some good run plays. And the key play before this touchdown was Enoch Nawahine. We ran the ball to the left and he broke a couple of tackles and made about 5 yards after contact and got us to a second and short. And now a second and short, you can call that play action pass and have the other team respect the run. If he gets tackled at second and eight or second and nine, that touchdown pass to Darius is impossible. You have to call something else. And so I thought Enoch deserves some credit there for that touchdown to Darius. He, by being so physical with his run, he got us to a nice second and short where your whole playbook's open.
I think he went Pokai on the second and one, a little run to Pokai, and then set you up with a new series of downs, right?
Yeah, correct.
The third down conversions, nice to have two of them on the drive there.
It was. I mean, we were 3-for-5 on third down in the first half.
Yep.
And then I think we were 1-for-8 in the second half. So our third down execution in the second half was poor. And in the first half, it was excellent. And that's why you have 31 points at half, because you're playing well on third down. You're getting to more manageable third down distances. And so that was big difference in the two halves was how we played on third down.
Only one punt in the first half for BYU. And yet again, it's happened a lot this year. You get a chance to score in the final minute of a half with some Will Farron points, and he sets a career-long 54 yards to give BYU a 31-14 lead at the break. Again, another little boost, and Will's been performing in these late half scenarios, it seems.
Well, and we've been really good in two-minute offense this season. I'm pleased. That's one area where doing a good job with. Jake's really got a knack for it, and we're managing that clock well. Would have liked to have gotten him a little closer, or maybe even gotten ourselves a touchdown, but Will's such a good kicker, man. If you just give him a chance, you got a great opportunity to get points, and credit to him for knocking that thing through.
And again, that's his second 50-yarder of the year, and a good kicker influences an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, and the wind was pretty wild in that stadium too. There was you don't see that on TV, but that was a pretty strong wind.
It was pretty swirly and really picked up later in the afternoon as the game got into the second half. All right, Jake Retzlaff had an outstanding first half. 13 of 17 for a 180, two touchdowns, and then he ran it four times for 47 yards and a score. I say it was as good a start as you could hope for. That's about as good a half as Jake has played for you.
Very solid. Yeah, he played a really good first half. That's as good well as he's played since he's been here. And that's about as well as we've had any quarterback play in a half, you know, for a while. That was good football.
And again, it shouldn't be understated, just scoring 31 on a team that I think their season high against was maybe 31 from Colorado the week before. Does that sound right?
Yeah, and that was an overtime game.
Yeah.
They got 31 in overtime. So, yeah, that's the most points anyone's scored on them this year. And I don't know how many teams have scored that many points against Dave Aranda ever. He is an outstanding defensive coach, as good as they get.
Yeah, when you heard he'd be calling plays this year, actually an active play caller, what did that say to you initially?
Well, I just have tons of respect for him. First of all, Baylor has very good players, and then Coach Aranda, he's a legend. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time at a very high level at several different schools. He's got a national championship at LSU, a Big 12 championship at Baylor. He had an awesome defense at Wisconsin. He's a very good coach.
Okay, coming up, we'll see how BYU hung on for its first ever Big 12 away win when the Coordinator's Corner rolls on. As we head to break, a reminder to join Dave McCann and former Cougars Blaine Fowler and David Nixon tomorrow night for a brand new episode of After Further Review. They'll break down the film of BYU's win at Baylor and look ahead to Arizona coming up in 12 days. That's tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. When we return, more with BYU OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we are brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Okay, Utahns love staying active, and Intermountain Healthcare is here to help keep it that way.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's The Burger Boys and Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics.
Back on the Coordinator's Corner, chatting with BYU offensive coordinator and QB coach Aaron Roderick after BYU's 34-28 win at Baylor on Saturday. For BYU, now ranked 17th. It's the first daytime win in almost three calendar years. Good to get one of those. And Baylor's 10th consecutive loss to a ranked team. Cougars now enter their first bye week of the season at 5-0, 2-0 in league play. BYU home to Arizona coming up on October 12th. They set that game time today, by the way. It'll be an afternoon kick, 2 o'clock Mountain on the 12th. All right, Saturday in Waco, BYU played a very balanced offensive game. 151 rushing yards, 216 passing yards. I know you don't care about the yards. It's about the points and the wins. But under Kalani, BYU's got a 30-5 record and 13 consecutive wins. When you just go 150-200, it seems like a pretty fair balance on both sides.
Yeah, we want to be a balanced team, and I think we've done that the last couple of games. And, you know, you're right, it's not about the total number of stats, because total yards isn't always a great indicator of winning and losing.
K-State, an example.
Correct. It's more about points per possession, what you're doing with your possessions, and we're doing a very good job with getting points on our total number of possessions this year.
To the BYU run game, it was once again a group effort. Six players had carries. Leading rusher was your quarterback, Jake Retzlaff. Can you give us maybe a status of the running back room heading into the bye week right now?
Yeah, they're getting healthy. I expect to have everybody available in the next game. I can't guarantee that, but I think we'll have everybody back by the next game, and that'll be nice. And it's been great. The reason why Jake's our leading rusher is because we have had so much turnover there, right?
Rotation.
If it had been one or two guys all season long, then the backs would be leading the team. But I'm proud of those guys, though, for just stepping up. You know, I'm calling the game. I'm not thinking about the fact that Enix in there or Pokai or Sione Moore or whoever. I just call the game, and every one of those guys has stepped up and been able to play and run our offense.
The only guys who were truly unavailable at Baylor were LJ Martin and Sione Moore, because Hinkley made the trip and could have played if you needed him, but you didn't, because you had Ina going, you had Pokai going, you had Miles going.
Correct. We had Hinkley was there. He was ready to play if needed. But we thought, you know, Enoch and Pokai were doing a really nice job. And, of course, Miles scored a touchdown. So we were able to rest Hinkley for another game. And now he's got a bye week. So
right.
Hopefully by the next game we're full speed or full go there at that position.
All right, back into the game Saturday. At halftime, you had gone through six possessions, four touchdowns, punt, and a field goal. What different looks were you getting maybe in the second half that maybe you weren't in the first 30 minutes?
Second half, they turned up the pressure a lot. They were blitzing almost every play that half, which is something they had not done this season. A very low pressure team, and you know we actually were pretty aggressive in especially trying to throw the ball down the field. And we had a couple chances. We just did not execute well enough in the second half. They had a very uncharacteristic drop ball. You know, Darius is a great player. He almost never drops the ball. We had a drop that would have been a huge play. Mm-hmm. We went right back to him on the same play a couple plays later with just a different formation. And then Jake was a little off with the throw. Both of those would have been huge gains. We had a double move to Darius later in the half. We tried to go down, or in the fourth quarter, tried to go down the field to Darius on that. Didn't connect. We had a double pass in the red zone where I thought should have been a pass interference.
Absolutely
call.
Should have been.
A touchdown. Anyway, so we were trying to be aggressive against their pressure, and we just did not execute to make them pay. If you make them pay on one of those, you know, one or two of those completions, they're going to stop blitzing. Mm. And so when we didn't connect, it was almost like that encouraged them to just keep it coming, and then it started to kind of snowball on us a little bit. But so that was disappointing. But I'm glad that the players know that we're not going to, you know, we're going to keep the pedal down. We're going to keep trying to be aggressive, and it just we need to learn to execute better in that situation.
BYU was up 31-14 going into the second half, though. Baylor opened the second half with the ball, did its job, touchdown, made it a 10-point game. On the ensuing BYU drive, I think your first one, you're on the verge of a three and out. That's when Coach Papinga dials up the fake on 4th and 10.
Yeah, that was, we talked about that before the game, that look was there. You know, we're a team that likes to go for it on 4th down, and that felt like a great time to go for the fake because there's enough field behind them that they're probably not expecting it, and it's a long, and 4th and 10 is not a great play for the offense to try to go for it either.
Yeah.
So well executed by the special team, hats off to them. That was awesome. That was really fun to watch.
After the fake, you grinded a bit, 13 plays, 46 yards. You had to come out of it with points, and you did. As it turns out, three pretty big points from Will Farron to make it 34-21.
Yeah, I would have liked to have gotten a touchdown there, but the points, just getting points there is huge.
So next four possessions were a pick, a missed field goal, a huge 70-yard punt, another interception. So you had some adversity to overcome down the stretch because Baylor was starting to get them some things going.
They were, and again, the interception was unfortunate because we were trying to go to chase, and the referees were definitely letting them play. We had a bear hug around Chase out of bounds and or on near the sideline, and that's one where Jake maybe should just run it or throw it away. But he tried to fit it in there to the inside receiver, and ball got away from him a little bit. But I thought that should have been 1st and 10. For us on defensive holding, but we didn't get the call, and so you know that's a tough one.
It's part of the adversity.
It is.
In a 6-point game now, BYU's defense kept turning Baylor back, and you got the ball back with under 2 minutes to play. You're maybe two first downs away from sealing a win, and you're a 2nd and 5, and
yeah.
Then comes a flag that makes it 2nd and 20. It cracked open the door just a bit for Baylor when you thought you make 5 yards, maybe it's ball game.
Yeah, no, again, I didn't think Caleb did anything Caleb didn't deserve that, but it set us back for sure. Now, when you're 2nd and 20 something, that deep in your own territory, you have to be smart and just run the football. And unfortunately, that was a tough way to finish it because we were at 2nd and 5.
Yep.
We've got 2 downs to make 5 yards. We moved the chains. It's game over.
Right.
We're in victory again for the third game in a row. But we got a tough call there against Caleb, who is just an absolute awesome human being. Like, he's not a guy who's out there getting personal fouls at the end of a game. That's just not who he is. And
that's one of the main reasons Kalani was so incensed.
It was. It was a flop. And their player flopped and tried to sell it. And, unfortunately, that one went against us. But it's okay. It's good to win a game like that where – you know, we didn't do everything right in that second half, but we still had to battle through the adversity, and you could learn a lot of good lessons in a win.
their last gasp, Baylor that is, came with just under 90 seconds to play. Crew Wakely seals the deal, and you had your first Big 12 away win.
Yeah, that was great. That was fun to watch. That was one of the only defensive plays of the game.
That's right. You're not watching that a lot, are you?
I'm actually watching the game. Most of the time I'm looking down, playing the next series, and got to watch the bracket coverage unfold and see Crew go get it. That was a great play.
All right. The phrase is complimentary football, and we saw a lot of that on Saturday, right? The offense gets off with a spectacular start, scores 31 in the first half. Defense forces two takeaways, those lockdown plays late, including Crew. Special teams, fake punts, 70-yard punts, 54-yard field goal. That's the way to do it.
It is, and that's how our program is built, to win as a team. And complimentary football is a real thing. It's not something that just happens by happenstance. It is a planned out, methodical thing that we work on a regular basis. Jay Hill, Kalani, and I have a lot of history together, and we win games as a team, in a way that is meant to. We play a certain style of offense that allows the defense to play great defense. We play a defense of mentality that gets a lot of takeaways and sets us up with good fields, and we play great special teams, and those things all fit together.
In this team game, we like to shine the light on outstanding individuals, and we take a look at this week's Offensive Player of the Week, and you've chosen an offensive lineman to receive those kudos this week.
Yeah, Braden Keim played an outstanding game. Baylor has a phenomenal pass rush. They had 8 sacks the week before at Colorado, who we're finding out now that Colorado is a really good team.
Yes.
Right? They showed that this week at UCF. 0 sacks, was a big deal, and thought Braden played the best of those 5 guys Saturday. And just super proud of him, his development over the years in our program. He's a great example of what we're about.
Awesome. Congrats to Braden. Coming up, we'll have our last segment with Coach A-Rod. Next Saturday, we want you to tune in to Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 Mountain, as the Cougs host the Arizona Wildcats. As we go to break, reminder that dinner after the game at JCW's includes something for everybody, from burgers to wings, shakes to salads. JCW's quality and a lot of it in Lehigh, American Fork, Provo, South Jordan, and Harriman. Coming up next, quick look ahead to BYU's next game post-bye week. We're in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Welcome back inside the Coordinator's Corner. BYU entering its first of 2 bye weeks at 5-0, ranked 17th in the AP poll after Saturday's 34-28 win at Baylor, BYU's first ever win in Waco. And the victory improves the Cougars to 2-0 in conference play. Visiting with BYU OC and QB coach Aaron Roderick. And even though the game is still an extra weekend away, quick look ahead now to the next opponent for BYU, the Arizona Wildcats. U of A 23-10 winner at Utah on Saturday night. This preview of Arizona brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics. And that's an impressive win going into Salt Lake and doing what they did Saturday night.
No question. That's a tough place to play in Salt Lake City, and they came in there and played a very good game. I was impressed.
Arizona now 3-1 overall, as you see, 1-0 in the Big 12. One of the top DBs in the country in Takario Davis, who was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Week today.
Yeah, he's a projected first round pick. He's 6'4". He's long and fast, very impressive on film. We've already been watching him all morning, and he's a really good football player.
Held Utah to 2.9 yards per carry, 3 sacks, 7 TFLs. Was a good defensive game for them.
It was. They present a lot of problems. They're very athletic and tough, and they bring a lot of pressure, and they can play man coverage. And they also have some really unique zone coverage principles as well that we're going to have to be prepared for.
And a potentially explosive offense they have that needs you kind of keeping pace with them, maybe.
Yeah, that's one thing. Again, talking about winning and losing as a team, or, it's a team game. Our job is to prepare for Arizona's defense, but knowing that they have an offense that can score points, that's part of it. We have to work together as a football team to win that game.
5 games in now at 5-0. What do you like most about this BYU offense through 5 games?
Well, I think we're being efficient with our possessions. And I think what I also like is just we're a team that we can run it or throw it when we need to. We had some breakdowns in that second half the other day, but most of those were due to, individual errors that we need to correct. I think we have solid depth at all position groups. We've had guys step up at every position group, and And I think that's going to carry us through down the stretch, is knowing that we can go to our receivers, we can go to our tight ends, we can get the ball to our backs. We've had depth at O-line, and you know, Jake's playing really well, and we have a really good quarterback behind him as well. So I think we are, this bye week comes at a good time for us to get healthy, and I think we have enough depth to make a good run down the stretch here.
Okay, as the QB coach, Jake Retzlaff now has a winning team record as the starting quarterback. Where has he made the most strides from 2023 to 2024, do you think?
Just his decision-making. There was a couple of plays Saturday where he threw the ball away, and in the past he might have tried to make a play. And, you know, no one's going to notice it, but he literally threw the ball out of bounds twice Saturday where would have been tempted in the past to maybe try to make something happen. He had a great check down to Pokai in the first half where they grabbed him. Defense got a hold of him. He dumped it
wide
to Pokai.
Open. Yep.
Pokai made a nice gain. That was an outstanding play. And, you know, just little things like that are where I see him improving. You know, the two interceptions were really unfortunate. One's a tipped ball. We have an open receiver. He's throwing the ball on time to the right guy. Their guy makes a great play. The ball gets tipped. And the other one, I thought we should have had a defensive holding penalty against Baylor, and we didn't get the call. Ball was a little off. But he is making good decisions for our team right now and doing a nice job. I think obviously he can keep improving, but I like the progress he's making.
I want to throw a few stats on the screen for you right now. Maybe tell me what jumps out to you or what you think maybe has the most validity. These are top 25 stats that reflect on the BYU offense in one way or another right now. The fourth down number is very high. The care of the ball is part of the turnover margin. What do you like out of this?
Well, yeah, we want to, you know, first of all, when we get in the red zone, we want to score touchdowns. And I think we've done a good job of that this year. And we're taking good care of the football for the most part, and I think we're protecting our quarterback. And turnover margin is the number one, you know, that is the number one stat in football. If you win the turnover battle, your chances of winning go way up. And our defense is getting takeaways, and we're doing a good job of taking care of it for the most part this year. We had one really unfortunate game at SMU, but we found a way to win. Other than that, we've been, you know, on the winning end of the turnover battle, and I think that's a huge reason why we're where we're at.
And finally, Coach Roderick, for you, Kalani says we want to prove people wrong, but also prove ourselves right. Fact is, BYU's 5-0 against the spread so far this season, and that has been something that the guys like to kind of lean into. Is yeah, we're going to go prove some things this year, and so far so good that way.
Yeah, well, it was a long off season. I think our players had a lot of time to reflect on. You know, we didn't play as well as we wanted to last year, and I think necessarily they're always thinking about what other people think. I just think that most of our players are focused on the belief in themselves that they have, that we can win the next game, and they just, as long as they just keep believing in themselves that they can win the next game, and you focus one game at a time, I think we'll all be happy with the results at the end.
All right, Coach, have a great bye week, and good luck against Arizona here in a week and a half.
Thanks.
All right, that's Coach Aaron Roderick. 1 week from tomorrow night, join us for BYU football. Yeah, 1 week from tomorrow. Not tomorrow, but a week away. BYU football with Kalani Sitake. The coach and a special guest will help us preview the Arizona game out of the bye week. That's next Tuesday, not tomorrow. Next Tuesday at 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app or ESPN+. Coming up next, special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga. As the Coordinator's Corner continues, we're brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys.
Coordinator's Corner is presented by JCW's, The Burger Boys, Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years, and Smith's, low prices, market fresh.
You are in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys. Second half hour of the show begins now as we switch gears from offense to special teams and a little bit of BYU defense as we welcome in special teams coordinator and defensive ends coach Kelly Papinga. Coach, good to see you once again.
Good to be back.
All right, helping us look back at this win over Baylor, 34-28. Cougs now 5-0 on the season, 2-0 in the Big 12. The polls have you at 17th and 19th, and this week you're off for your first of two bye weeks, home to Arizona now coming up a week from Saturday. Where are you guys situated heading into the bye week at 5-0? Good feelings, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. You know, being 5-0 and being able to, play, I think, the way that we've played, you know, the first five games, I think we feel confident as a defense and as a special teams unit. I know A-Rod's feeling better and better about things on offense. And so, you know, I think when you can go through the first five games, especially three of those being on the road, you feel pretty good about being in the position that we're in right now.
That's a great point. The only 3-0 away team in the Big 12 right now, let alone the only 5-0 team overall. Let's start with some special teams conversation relative to Baylor, looking back on it. Coming in, there were a lot of intriguing matchups. Both teams, for example, had already scored touchdowns this season in the return game.
Yeah, yeah. We saw a week ago when they played Colorado, their guy basically goes untouched for 100 yards for a touchdown. And so, yeah, that was obviously a big emphasis. And he got a couple good returns against us. One that they got to the 35, and the other one, you know, got past that. But then there was a holding call that brought it back. But, yeah, that's definitely something we got to square up over the next couple weeks before Arizona, because they're going to have a good returner as well. And so, but, yeah, that guy was a good player. And I thought their punt returner was a
very good
player
yeah.
as well.
And Cameron.
And, you know, he got a good return against us, which shouldn't have happened. We had really two guys in position to make the play that really need to, you know, finish off doing their job. And we'll get that corrected in meetings here in about an hour. But in general, I thought we did some really good stuff on special teams, and really probably two of the biggest plays in the game on the fake punt.
Yeah.
And then on Sam's 70-yard punt that we had late in the game that set up long field for them when they, you know, needed a touchdown to win the game. And so really excited about those two plays, and, you know, the rest of it. You know, Will's 54-yard field goal, I think, was a big play too as well. And there's another, you know, his other field goal later in the game. And so a lot of really good stuff.
We'll get into all those. Let's get into the rhythm of the game. We'll have you wear two hats right now, the defensive one and the special teams one. On defense, the Cougs were making plays early, really early, as in first Baylor snap of the game. The Cougs are up 7-0 already when John Nelson and Blake Mangelson, the interior guys, combined to give the offense a short field.
Yeah, I think they were a little upset that they weren't able to make any plays in the Kansas State game, I guess. And they thought, hey, shoot, let's see what we can do here. And so, yeah, very first play, we'd made this an emphasis. Quarterback a little shorter. His release was a little lower. We talked about getting our hands up all week. Ball was coming out fast, and so you know, John does a great job, and then Blake, you know, high points the ball right there, and, you know, sets up our offense with great field position to go up 14-0. And you know, we always say the best way to play quick game in the pass game is to get our hands up, and, you know, John does that right there. We do it later on in the game a couple more times as well. You know, every time that ball's up in the air like that, trust me, when you're on the other side of that, you know, that happens later in the game for us, where the ball gets batted and it ends up becoming an interception. That ball's floating like that. I mean, it's anybody's ball. And so we saw that ball go up, and all of us were just kind of holding our breath for somebody to catch that. And, you know, good for us that Blake came down with that.
It was the Mangler. So you set it up 14-0, and then they get to a 4th-and-1 in BYU territory on the next drive. Now they're trying to hang in the game. They go for it on 4th, and Isaiah Glasker, a huge TFL to end that Baylor drive.
Yeah, that was a massive play, and they were going really fast. They were trying to tempo us right there, and so Coach Hill did a great job of getting the call in that we wanted in the short yardage situation. You guys can see Glasker goes right, you know, through the B gap right there, untouched, and really, really good solid tackle right there where he knocks that guy back, and there's no way that guy can fall forward for a first down. And so huge, huge play to, you know, continue the momentum for us, because who knows what happens right there. They get a first down, and, you know, even if they get 3 points out of that drive, who knows how our offense responds. But, man, I think our offense just feeds right off of that momentum. We get that fourth down stop, and then they go right down and, you know, score again and go up 21-0.
21-0. If there's one hallmark of the Kalani era, it's how well BYU plays when you do get open on top.
Okay, that's a good
stat. It's very strong.
I think I saw you tweet it.
Yeah, you know, I got a few of them. Yeah. But I do like this. When BYU scores first, just scores first, any kind of score first, 40-9 under Kalani. But when BYU scores a touchdown on the first possession, it's now 34-2.
Okay, let's do
with
that.
With 32 straight wins. So
that's
the good one.
Let's
keep going for that. All right, 28-7 early in the second. BYU scores its last touchdown to go up 28-7, but it wasn't the last points. You get one final score in the second quarter, and it was 54 yards from Will Farron.
Yeah.
Tied for second longest field goal in BYU football history. It's his career long, and again, gives you a little boost there before the break.
Yeah, that was exciting. Will's always asking for the long ones, and so I just said, whatever the situation comes, you know, we'll be ready for it. And so, you know, as you look at this right here, the protection was awesome, and I think that thing would have been good from 65. I mean, he bombed that thing.
Hit the
right
net.
There. And so, you know, great snap, great hold, great protection, and then Will does the rest and gets a great leg on it. I wish he gets that same exact kick later on in the game. Makes it a little less stressful for us. I think he misses a 49-yarder later on in the game, which would have put us up 9. You know, whatever. Well, you know, I can't be unhappy about a 54-yarder. And I think I've mentioned this before. Our goal is to be 100% inside of 44. That's our goal every single week. So obviously we're going to make every PAT field goal, and then every kick we have inside of 44. I think he's missed one this year. I think his other misses have been outside of that 44-yard range. And so, but yeah, in critical moments, we obviously got to hit those longer field goals. And I was happy to see Will at the end of a half. I mean, that's multiple times now at the end of a half that Will's right. done that over and over again. So exciting to see our offense do a 2-minute drill, put us in position to get us points on the board to go into the half.
250 plus yarders for Will now on the season. And these are hard kicks. We saw Baylor's kicker try on 50 and miss it right before halftime.
Yeah, and that was, you know, if you look at just the difference of the point swing right there, of us being able to get our three and them not getting to get their three, that could have been the difference in the game. You know, we miss ours, they make theirs. That could have been the six points that, you know, send the game into overtime.
All right, nice lead at halftime. When we come back, we'll see how the Cougars closed out the win in Waco as we go over the second 30 minutes with Coach Kelly Papinga. You can get ready for BYU and Arizona next Saturday with BYU Sports Nation Game Day's expanded pregame coverage beginning 2 hours prior to kickoff. That'll be 2 p.m. Eastern, noon Mountain for the pregame, 2 o'clock Mountain kick on BYU TV. When we come back, the Coordinator's Corner continues with Coach Papinga, brought to you by JCW's. The Burger Boys back with more right after this. Welcome back inside the Coordinator's Corner, visiting with BYU Special Teams Coordinator and Defensive Ends Coach Kelly Papinga. Looking back at BYU's 34-28 win in Waco on Saturday afternoon, a victory that bumps BYU up to 17th in the latest AP poll. Now it's a bye week followed by a home game against Arizona 1 week from this upcoming Saturday. Let's pick up our look back early in the second half, and I want to shout out Tyler Batty for his first sack of the season. It came on Baylor's, I think, first snap of the second half.
Yeah, he, you know, he's had probably three or four that he should have had earlier in the season. And just, you know, either wraps a little too wide or gets a little too far up the field, or, you know, I'm glad he missed the one versus Kansas State because it results in an interception, but he's been so close all year long, and he's gotten a ton of quarterback pressures. He's one of the best in the Big 12 right now of getting after the quarterback as far as just pressuring the quarterback. But yeah, first play of the game, first play of the second half right there, does a great job on their right tackle.
I couldn't believe Robertson hung onto the football.
Yeah, I thought he was going to fumble it too, because Batty, I mean, he crushed him right there. And so does a great bull rush, ends up finishing with an inside move, and then obviously the quarterback's blindside right there, didn't see him coming, and he, it was a big hit. And we got him later on in the game too on another big hit. I don't know if anybody saw that, but later in the game, he runs a QB run, and Isaiah Badna comes in and just blindsides. It's very similar to what happened to the quarterback in the SMU game. So I think we hit this quarterback a lot, and just talking to him after the game, you could tell, like, that guy was beat up. He was sick of running around. You know, there were some times in the game where he was scrambling around, but by the time he got to the fourth quarter, he was done. And you could just see by his performance in the fourth quarter, wasn't nearly as sharp and as clean as he was in the first three quarters, and that's just what happens. The continuous pressures and the hurries and the hits on the quarterback and that guy running all over the field, just over time, it just wears those guys out. And, you know, fortunately for us, that's, you know, I think what led to one of the last interceptions, big plays of the game.
The sack we saw began a drive that actually ends up in a score that makes it a 10-point game. And then the offense looked to be on the verge of a three and out. And now you're starting to sense, okay, there's something swinging here. But it's a 4th and 10 from the BYU 35-yard line. You're up 10. Kind of the play call of the game, it came on special teams. You dial up a fake with Sam Vanderhaar.
Oh yeah, and that's something we practiced a lot, and it was fun to get our guys to finally execute. We practiced that all last season, and just, you know, you just wait for certain situations and certain looks that teams give you, and you know, they executed it to perfection. And so the thing that I love about this is there's some great blocks. If you can go back to the back view, I don't know if they can do that or not, but there's some great blocks by Jack Kelly, makes a great block. Tanner Wall, you can see right there, makes a great block. John Nelson makes a great block to kind of get everything going. And then Tyler Batty makes a crushing block. A guy's trying to fold over the top, and if Batty doesn't make that block, he probably gets tackled. But Batty basically pancakes a guy. And so you got five defenders on the field right there, plus Bruce Mitchell, that's leading all the way up to the returner if it eventually got to him. A bunch of defensive guys that show us that they can run block a little bit. So, but I was just excited for us to execute it at the right moment, and then for us to be able to get some points off of it after that.
And you weren't on with us last week because it was a week off for you, but we had defensive guys on the safe punt return that Parker ends up making a play of the, you know, play of the century type thing.
Yeah.
And that was good too, to see those guys involved in that play as well. Yeah. We talked with Sam postgame. We brought up a little Aussie rules football because you could tell he's been used to running with something in his arms before. You could tell. Is he a good guy for that call?
Oh, yeah. He was so excited. I mean, once we installed it going all the way back into spring ball, And he was just like looking at me like, Coach, are you for real? Like, we're going to call this in a game? I'm like, oh yeah, we're going to call it at some point. You got to be ready. And so when he, I mean, he's ran it, we've probably ran that thing in practice over 20 times in the past, you know, since spring ball. And so, just him getting those repetitions over and over again. And there's times where he's running where a lot of our guys are like, oh, Coach, this guy's fast. Like, he can go. And he looked natural running the ball right there and made a really good cut to bounce it to the outside and had great ball security. And then right at the last second slides right before he gets a hit. It was like, this guy's been doing this for his whole entire life. And so, you know, he came to me after the game and just said, Coach, that memory will be etched in my soul for eternity. I said, hey, there you go, buddy. So
awesome.
We'll see what else we got in store. But I'm excited for him because I think what it's going to do is it's going to take some pressure. When teams see you run fakes, and hopefully they go back to last season, see the Oklahoma State fake too as well, they see those and they don't want to have another fake run on them. So then what that does is allow us to hopefully relieve some pressure where they don't want to blitz and send pressure to go block punts. So hopefully it helps Sam be able to, you know, be a little more comfortable in the pocket, be able to get his ball out.
And off that, BYU did get points, a 37-yard Will Farron field goal to keep the cushion. And the next two BYU possessions were an INT and a missed field goal. Baylor scores. Now it's a six-point game. Now you're kind of counting possessions, looking for stops. And sometimes you might even need a 70-yard punt to keep the opponent at bay, which is what happened in this game. When it came, it was massive.
Yeah, and, you know, Sam did a great job. It's a certain type of punt that we have that I tell him to get the ball low, and he's able to get this ball low with low hang time. And the returner didn't have a chance to come over and catch that thing. And then we knew that punt usually gets a roll on it. And that thing rolled almost 20 yards or maybe more. And I thought for 1 second there, it looked like he wanted to pick that thing up. And if he did, I think Chica would have been right there to hit him and maybe causes a fumble or whatever may happen right there. But that was a huge, huge play in the game. Now they got to go 97 yards to take the lead. And you could tell they were going to be aggressive in that deal right there. They went for it on fourth down, I think, on their own 10, where, man, if we stop them right there, the game
game's over.
Game's over. Yeah. But, you know, unfortunately, we don't. But still, we get them in a third and long. I think JT ends up getting a sack on an intentional grounding that ends us getting in like a third and 20. And then they have to now punt. And now we got good field position. And so, yeah, I think one of the biggest plays of the game was that punt right there.
There was no more scoring the rest of the way, but no lack of drama because it was kind of back and forth, you know, both teams looking to either put a team away or stay back in it. And it came down to one Baylor possession, 90 seconds to play. It's a second and 20 from the Baylor 29-yard line, and Crew Wakely ends the Bears' hopes for the day.
Yeah, it was a great call by Coach Hill. It was one call we had not used the whole entire game that was really successful for us during SMU, and we'd been playing a lot of cover two in the game, and then we changed up our coverage just a little bit in the back end right there where Crew could get over to the sideline just a little bit faster, and the quarterback didn't see it. I think he thought we were going to be in cover two again and that the safety was going to be late. That's what we call a hole shot right there. He's trying to throw the hole shot between the corner and the safety. And didn't anticipate Crew being there as fast as he was, and Crew made a great play. And really, that call came from Coach Guilford, actually. He said, Coach Guilford told Coach Hill, hey, run this right here. We're going to get it. He's literally on the headset, said, Coach Hill, run this. We're going to get a pick.
Wow.
He's going to throw it right to us, and sure enough, very next play. So that's just, you know, it comes down to just us knowing the scheme, all of us coaches knowing the scheme, knowing what our guys can execute. I don't even think we ran that coverage in practice this last week.
Wow.
And so it's something that we've ran a lot over the year or, you know, over fall camp and even in the first three or four games of the season. But I don't think we practiced it one time. And then Coach Guilford gets the inkling that he needs to tell Coach Hill to call it. Coach Hill calls it. And then, you know, Crew makes the play. And then that was fun to just see the guys celebrate. And, you know, it's always fun to win. But when you win with a little bit of drama like that, it makes it a little sweeter. So
that's an awesome story. BYU wins at 34-28. First ever Big 12 away win for the Cougs. Let's get to special teams and Coach Hill's defensive players of the week. Who'd you like on special teams?
Yeah, so, you know, with, like I've already mentioned before, with Sam's big punt and then the fake punt that he executed, then he had another good punt in there too as well. I think his net ended up being around 44 yards, which is 2 yards more than our goal. And so I gave it to Sam this week, and I thought it was, you know, just for the field position that he gave us multiple times, not just for our offense, but not for our defense typically, now for our offense on the fake punt. We were excited about that.
Okay, Sam Vanderhaar, special teams player of the week, and Coach Hill, for defensive win with Tyler Batty and Crew Wakely.
Yeah. So Tyler played one of the best games that I've seen him play since he's been here. He's super physical in the run game. He got after the quarterback. I think we had him for 6 quarterback hurries and hits and plus a sack. And so just all around in the run game and the pass game, Batty played extremely well, very physical. And then Crew was all over the place. He had, I think, 7 tackles, had a sack, you know, gets the interception at the end of the game. And he's
it was
playing.
His first career sack, by the way.
There you go. And it was on a spin. I don't know if anybody saw that or not, but it was like a little spin off of the running back. I'm like, where did you learn that spin move? You know, and he just said, hey, it just came out of nowhere. But super excited just to see our guys execute like that, especially on the road, and to start the way that we started. You know, obviously, I think we could have finished the game a little bit better, but it was exciting to see our guys go on the road in the day where everybody says we can't play, right? And, you know, I think we just hopefully, you know, shut that down. Put that to bed and just said, hey, listen, we can play anytime, anyplace, anywhere. When we come in with the right mindset, we come in prepared, I think the right way, we can play at any time. And I was excited to see our guys do that.
Now, a daytime game coming up with Arizona here in a week and a half. We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll take a break. When we come back, how BYU plans to use that bye week before U of A this upcoming Saturday, a week from this upcoming Saturday. As we step away, a reminder that your Cougar Sports Day-to-Day play-by-play is on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jerem, weekdays noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Final segment with Coach Papinga after this on the Coordinator's Corner. Stay with us. Back in the Coordinator's Corner, brought to you by JCW's The Burger Boys, 17th-ranked BYU into its first of 2 bye weeks after a 34-28 win at Baylor on Saturday. That was a daytime win for BYU. Cougs look for another daytime win against Arizona 1 week from this upcoming Saturday. All right, final segment now with Coach Kelly Papinga, special teams and defensive ends coach. Did you watch Arizona's Saturday night game at Utah when you got back to town?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. Wanted to get a view of, you know, both teams, but especially just seeing Arizona's offense. They got some guys. I think they have a really good run game. I think the quarterback's special. He does some stuff that, you know, a lot of quarterbacks can't do, being able to avoid rush and be able to get out of the pocket and throw the ball. Not a huge scrambler as far as wanting to make plays with his feet down the field. He's getting out of the pocket more to be able to extend the play down the field and throw it more than anything, but he can still run it. And, you know, like I said, I think they have 2 really good running backs, and I think, you know, the receiver core, I think, is really good, have a really good tight end. So, you know, I think the Kansas State game, people look at that game and see the score 42-7. We just watched that game, and I think that game could have gone completely a different way. You know, they have some turnovers. They turn the ball over, and the score becomes a little lopsided. But I think very competitive, especially going into Utah, being able to do what they did in a night game in that atmosphere, be able to play the way they did. It's going to be a challenge. It'll be fun.
Okay, less than a minute left, but you're almost at the halfway point of the season. You've already surpassed some preseason odds makers' expectations of your team this year. What does 5-0 mean to you here in the final 30 seconds?
Yeah, 5-0 is, you know, I think everybody's saying it. You know, you can't have a chance to go 6-0 unless you're 5-0, right? So that's the best thing about being 5-0 is the opportunity to go 6-0. And so just happy for our guys. They've earned the right to be in this position that they're in. Now we're going to have to earn it again, going through the process of, you know, getting ourselves healthy for this bye week and being able to improve some of the things that we need to work on. And then got to put into work, you know, next week and really next week and have to get ourselves ready for Arizona.
Well, I'm so glad the way the special teams in particular have come to the forefront the last couple of weeks. Really fun to see and always good to visit with you, Coach.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for being here. All right, that'll do it for week 6 of the Coordinator's Corner. For coaches Aaron Roderick and Kelly Papinga and our entire crew, my name is Greg Wrubell. We will see you 1 week from next Monday back on the Coordinator's Corner. Go Cougs!